It's marvelous, isn't it?
Amen.
It's not just marvelous, it's absolutely amazing that He'd love somebody like me, somebody like you, just a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. That's all we are, amen? Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Just a few verses of Scripture tonight and we'll go to the house. But here's the thought I had for this evening. I wanted to share something with you that a preacher read, or a statement that he made while me and Levi were in Ohio last week. And I thought this was pretty good. He was talking about the ways in which we read our Bible. He said there are four ways in which you look at your Bible. He said number one is the narrative level. The narrative level. In other words, you're just reading the storyline like you would a novel or any other book. There's the narrative level. There is stories in the Bible. Some of the most wonderful stories ever told, even if they were not spiritual and did not have other applications, still be great stories. Amen?
Amen?
So there's the narrative level. And then secondly, he said there is the application level. In other words, that's how it fits you.
Amen.
Amen. I believe all Scripture was not written to us, but it was all written for us. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews wasn't written to you and I. It was written to people called the Hebrews. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And on and on and on. You know the story. But I believe the whole Bible applies to you and I.
Amen.
Some people don't believe in preaching the Old Testament. I believe in it. He left it for us. I believe in it. Amen?
Amen.
And it's for me. Somebody said, all them promises for Israel. I use them too. Amen?
Amen?
We got grafted in. We got adopted into the family. Hallelujah. I'm just as much a child of God as any Israelite ever thought about being. Amen?
Amen.
There is a narrative level. Then there is an application level. That's how that story fits you and how it make a difference in your life. Then he said there is the theological level. In other words, there's the storyline, then there's how it fits you, and then the theological level is how it involves God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, y'all did know this book was about him, right? He said, and lastly, there was the worship level. He said, when you open the Bible and you begin to read it narratively, but then you begin to apply it to your own life, and then you see how it involves God, then you'll worship.
Amen.
Have you ever considered any of your Bible reading worship? Amen. That thing gets good sometimes, doesn't it?
Amen.
Here's what I want to talk to you about tonight, just for a few minutes. What does God expect of us? Do you ever wonder about that? What does God, if you go and take a new job somewhere and you start on a new job tomorrow, they're going to give you a guideline or whatever it is, what your duties on that job are. They will tell you what is expected of you on a day-to-day basis. Is that right? What do you think God would tell us what He expects of us? And here's what I think we worry about sometimes more than we should. We worry about what man expects of us more than we worry about what God expects of us.
Amen.
And I believe there's some people who expect more out of you than God does. Amen. I remember, man, when I was a kid growing up, they'd throw a set of rules on you that they couldn't live by.
Amen.
Thank God we're not under that Levitical law anymore. Amen. God is not that hard on His children. I mean, you're living proof of it. You're still breathing. If I'd been God, I'd killed me a long time ago. And about three quarters of you, amen. Sure, you would too, amen. God's long-suffering, isn't He?
Amen.
When you got saved, God did put some expectations on your life. But did you know God never asked you to do one thing you cannot do? Can I say that again, see if it makes sense? God never asked you to do anything you could not do. And every one of us, we like to be like Moses was, and God tells Moses out of the burning bush, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And he said, well, I can't talk. And I wondered if God ain't thinking you're talking to me. Amen. If you couldn't open your mouth and speak when you got there, I wouldn't ask you to go. And if it's going to be that big a deal, take Aaron with you, but go to Egypt. Amen. And Moses began to make excuse. And he, who am I going to tell them sent me? And on and on. What if they don't believe me? And all this. On and on. Listen, if God asks you to do something in His Word, He will give you the ability to do that.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to give you a few things tonight just from the Word of God that I believe God expects of us.
Amen.
When we get saved, does he have the right to expect something out of us? I mean, he just went to Calvary, shed his blood, was crucified, the crown of thorns, the scourging of the whip, you know the whole story, placed in a barred tomb, rose again the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for me and you. Surely he has a right of some expectation from our lives. Did you know some people get saved and never do anything? Some people get saved. I believe every kid that bows their head out there and Brother Thomas and them prays with them, I believe they get saved. Amen. I'm not doubting one of their salvations. Amen. And it makes me mad when people do. Amen. Amen. But some of them will get them saved, and that's as far as they ever go. They'll go back home to a handful of hell where they live in a busted up home situation, and daddy in jail and mama's a crackhead, and we got about 2 hours a week with them is all we have. Some of them we're going to reach, some of them we're going to retain, some of them we'll lose, but I believe they got saved. Amen. Amen. There's some adults that drive in here saved is all they are. They've never went any further in the family of God. They just got in. They've never grown spiritually. They don't know anything about their Bible. They've never done anything for God. They're just saved. Amen. And we're glad they're here. Amen. But they believe that there's a little bit more to this thing than just being saved. Amen. Can I give you a couple things right quick? Matthew chapter number 9. Now watch this. This is number one after you get saved. Of course, it's believer's baptism after you're baptized. Amen. Here's where you need to go. Watch this. It's real simple. In verse number 9, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, say the next two words with me. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. I will say, number one, what God expects of his people is to follow him. I believe God expects us to follow him. Nod your heads or something. Amen. 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 Look at John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10 and verse number 27. John chapter number 10 and verse number 27. Here's what the Lord said. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Watch this. And they follow me. And they follow me. What does it mean to follow somebody? To follow somebody. Do you ever follow anybody? I follow certain people on the radio. To follow somebody means you go along with their doctrine, their teaching, their belief system. Y'all okay? Back in, was it the 60s, Brother Charles, or the late 50s, Martin Luther King? Was that the 50s and 60s, somewhere in that neighborhood? And there was a great following. What were they following? They were following what he was teaching and what he was preaching, and that was equality for all men. Amen. And he had a great following. Amen. And we are to follow Jesus, not just follow him down the road, but follow him in what he taught and what he practiced and what he preached. Amen. Amen. Churches aren't following Jesus anymore. They're following a movement. They're following a pastor somewhere and an author somewhere who's written the book like Joel Osteen. Or like Rick Warren at Saddleback in California. They're following some kind of movement. They're not following Jesus. If they were following Jesus, they would be preaching salvation by the blood of Calvary. They'd be preaching that sinners who die without Christ will go to hell and spend forever and ever and ever. And those who will trust him will spend forever and ever in heaven. They would be preaching the gospel if they were following Jesus. Amen. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am come but to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, there it is. All this other stuff's byproduct. All this other stuff's just so you'll believe who I say I am. All this raising of the dead and the water into wine and the withered hand and the issue of blood and all these things, these are just byproducts of what I came for. What I came for was to save sinners. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad he heals. I am. He still does. He's still a healer. Thanks be unto God. But so many put the focuses on healing. So many, because you know why? They're more interested in the flesh than they are the spirit. I'd rather be crippled and saved than have my leg straightened out and bust hell wide open. Amen. Here's what he expects of us. He expects of us to follow him and what he teaches or what he taught and what he believed. You know what one of those things was? He said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. He said in the second commandments, like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. If we're going to follow him, we got to love people. Yeah. Sometimes that's hard, buddy. People make it tough to love them. Amen. Y'all ever heard that? Tough love? That's what I'd like to do. Grab one or two and choke them till their eyeballs bug out a little bit. Amen. Say, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I about had that with a bus kid out here a few weeks ago. Boy, she got in my face. And I could feel it turning red. I knew it. I knew it was fitting to happen, boy, and I just had to back off. But anyway, some people's hard to love. Would you agree with that? Did you know it's not even just the church members we're supposed to love? And they some of them hard to love. Everybody, y'all figured it out, everybody ain't just like you. Has that dawned on you yet? People are different. People are weird, ain't they? Some of them are hard to love. But it's not just church members we're supposed to love. Them little kids down at the mall with their skin bleached out and them black fingernails and all that dog collars around their neck, you know we're supposed to love them too? For God so loved the what?
World.
The world that he gave himself for. Now, if we're going to follow him, we got to love that crowd too. As bad as I hate it, are we supposed to love them Muslims? That's hard to swallow, ain't it? That's mighty hard to swallow. It's hard to pray for people who want you dead. I believe God expects us to follow him. I believe Jesus says, wait a minute, if you're following me, why ain't you acting like I'm acting? Why ain't you treating people like I treated people? Do you know the only crowd Jesus was rough on when he was here? The church? The religious crowd? He called people names, but it was church people. It was them Jews. He called them a generation of vipers. I mean, brother, he called them hypocrites. He called them everything in the world. But when he got around sinners, he just sat down and eat with them. They even accused him. They said he's a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at him. He's sitting over there with a bunch of sinners. He's over there hanging out with a tax man. He's over there with Simon Peter. I know he cusses like a devil. Are y'all listening? Are we following him? Are we following him? Or is that something we might could work on a little bit? Are we following him on our job day in and day out? Huh? Listen, we're living in a day when churches don't want to follow Jesus. They want to follow whatever draws a crowd. If following Jesus cost us the crowd, we lose the crowd. Y'all okay? If following Jesus cost us that, if it cost us a building, it cost us a building, but we're just going to follow him. Amen. And we're going to keep preaching heaven high and hell hot. Amen. And we're going to keep doing our best to love sinners.
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed it, and I'm not downplaying anybody's social status, but we attract people that are down on their luck. Y'all ever noticed that?
Amen.
These churches in town will send them to us. You know what? That's just how he was. Everybody that came to him came with trouble. Everybody that came and flocked around Jesus came with a problem. Every one of them was down on their luck. Every one of them was having a hard time. Some of them had issues that couldn't nobody else help them with, so they came to Jesus. I'm glad we got a church where a bunch of old sinners can come that are down on their luck, ain't got two nickels to rub together, but they got a love for God in their heart, and they just looking for somebody to love them where they are. Man, we don't look to see what you drove up in the parking lot. We don't care. I don't look to see who puts money in the offering plate. Ain't my job. Let me say it again. It's not my job. Somebody said, what are you doing to build a church? Nothing. Not one cotton picking thing. I figured out a long time ago, Brother Atkins, I am not a church builder. Never was I intended to be a church builder, or neither are you. We okay? Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. If I build it, it's going to be messed up. You know what my job is? Preach that book right there. Preach that book and love you. Amen. That's what my job is. Amen. Are we following him? How are we doing? How are we doing? I think as a whole, as a church, I think we're doing, I wouldn't say excellent. I wouldn't brag on us too much, but I think we're going in the right direction. He may be a few steps out ahead of us, but we're headed his way, amen? And we're going to keep her headed His way. What does the Lord expect out of you after you get saved? Some people preach and teach you've got to be some kind of super saint. Listen, God calls people to do different things. Amen. Amen. Some people may never preach a message. Don't mean they ain't right with God. Y'all okay? Some people just great prayer warriors and thank God for them. Amen. What's He expect? What's He expect? I'll tell you something else He expects. Revelation chapter number 2. I'll quote this one verse for you. Moreover, it is required in stewards. What's a steward? Anybody know? It's a caretaker. What are we taking care of? What Jesus left us here with. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, say it with me, faithful. Now, God requires you to follow Him, but He also requires us to be faithful. This crowd in Revelation chapter number 2, watch what He said to them. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 10. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He said, be thou faithful unto death. Listen, everybody can't preach a message. Everybody is not a gifted teacher. We have gifted teachers. We really do. I know, I eavesdrop. I've been listening to Brother Charles now teach the Bible on and off for 19 years. Excellent. He knows that book. Amen. We've got Brother Art been teaching some in Brother Warren's class. Excellent job, brother. I don't make you nervous, but I'm eavesdropping on you a little bit. Brother Freddie is a gifted Bible teacher.
Amen.
Amen. We have people who have different gifts. I'll never, ever, ever, when Brother Freddie first came, he's on vacation, so we can say whatever we want. Amen. When he first came, his Bible knowledge intimidated me. He's forgot more Bible than I'll ever know. But then one day it just dawned on me. That's his gift. That's his gift and this is mine. And God put us two together. How about that? Amen? Ain't that a blessing? What I'm trying to say is everybody ain't got to be like everybody. Amen. You go on these Bible colleges, they all act like the president. For years, Dr. Jack Hiles had a bad sinus trouble. And the whole time he'd preach, he'd clear his throat. Every student in that school walked around. Cleared it. Oh, yeah. I remember back when Brother Sammy was younger, every preacher boy in this area had to be like Brother Sammy. They'd do their hand like that. They'd talk like that. When they preach and they'd quote the scripture. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody had to. It's okay to have a role model, but God didn't make us cookie cutters. We're individual. And whatever that individual is that He's made in you, it is required to be faithful. You may not teach, you may not preach, but you can be faithful.
Amen.
That's something all of us can do. It takes absolutely no talent. Just a little stick-to-itness, a little get up and go.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God we got some faithful people.
Amen.
We've got some that's just faithful on Sunday. Amen. Just faithful on Sunday morning. It's the only time they're going to come. It's the only time they ever have come. The only time they're going to come. I wouldn't say that's real faithful, would you?
No.
I love them. Hope they keep coming, but that's not faithful.
Amen.
That's not faithful. Faithful, buddy, is when you grab hold of something and you stick to it.
Amen.
And we ain't got to wonder if you're going to be there. We know you're going to be there.
Amen.
You know, growing up, I never asked my mother, was we going to church today?
Right.
When it was Wednesday, we didn't say, Mom, are we going to church on Wednesday? No, it wasn't no question about it. I saw her walk out on the ball field, stick her little old bony finger in a big old baseball coach's face and say, if you have practice on Wednesday afternoon, I just want you to know my boy won't be here. We'll be in the house of God.
Amen.
She meant that thing too, friend. Amen.
Amen.
Faithful. That's something all of us can do. Faithful to what? To follow Him. Faithful to do that first thing He asked us to do, follow me. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen. We ought to be faithful to follow Him. Listen, we ought to be faithful to church.
Amen.
We ought to be faithful to church.
Amen.
We ought to be faithful to pray.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be faithful to pray. How much time do you spend praying today? Have you been faithful in your prayer life? We ought to be faithful in our Bible reading.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, you can't help it. You read that Bible and you'll get help on accident.
Amen.
I'm serious heart attack. You just read that Bible, it's going to do something in you. There's no way around it.
Amen.
You read your Bible with a negative attitude and think, well, I ain't going to get nothing out of this, and look at there.
Amen.
God's done spoke to you and gave you something. And then sometimes you think you ain't getting nothing. And you get in a heated argument or a conversation with somebody at work about a certain Bible issue, and all of a sudden that stuff you've been reading starts popping up in your head.
Amen.
Amen. Well, to be faithful to that thing. Let me carry that a little bit further. Faithful is not just one area. It's our life.
Right. Yes,
faithful is what we are.
Yes, amen.
If I'm going to be faithful to God, guess what? I'm going to have to be faithful to her.
Amen.
And if she's going to be faithful to God, she's going to have to be faithful to me. And you're going to have to be faithful to your spouse.
Amen.
Y'all all right? We're to be faithful to each other. If I'm your friend today, I better be tomorrow.
Amen.
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 We need to get past all this I love you if. As long as you don't, we okay?
Amen.
What's the Lord require of us? He requires us to follow Him. And by the way, if you're following Him, you're going somewhere. If you're following Him, you're going somewhere. In other words, what I'm trying to say, if you're at a standstill, you're not following. Or if you're going backward, you're not following.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember old Peter tried to follow afar off. We got a lot of Christians like that. Amen. They're trying to follow, but they wanting to do it way off somewhere where they can't be seen. Amen.
Amen.
We still okay tonight?
Amen.
Psalms 126. Psalms 126, I believe He requires us to follow Him. I believe He requires us to be faithful. I believe He requires us to care about sinners.
Amen.
To be soul conscious. Does it still thrill you when somebody gets saved?
Amen.
Man, that excites me, man.
Amen.
Amen. That's better than a big offering.
Yeah.
That's eternal value right there. Amen. Psalms 126, look at verse number 5. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Listen, it ought not to bother us to leave a gospel tract here, there, and yonder. Stick one in somebody's hand. Tell somebody about the Lord. Invite somebody to church. Lord willing, I got a young man going to be here this Sunday, going to be my guest. Promise me he'd be here. You know how that goes. But he was giving Steve Swofford a shot first. So I know if he has to choose between me and he'll be here. Amen. I'm kidding. I love Brother Steve. But we ought to care about people. We get so wrapped up in our own lives. On Sunday morning, all you see, most of you, is the buses unloaded and the kids running in the hall and being loud and obnoxious. That's all you see. That's all you see is a bunch of rowdy, rebellious, misbehaved children. That's all you see. Do you know there's a whole lot more than that? There's somebody Jesus died for. Yes, sir, me too, brother. They asked me on the radio one time, well, didn't I used to be a bus kid? I said, no, I still am.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus died for every one of them. Everybody you meet in the street, everybody you run into in your dealings daily, Jesus died for them.
Amen.
He died for every one of them. Amen. And we ought to get a little more conscience about souls because Jesus was.
Amen.
If we're going to follow Him, that's going to have to be about us. We're going to have to be about that. That's just all He is to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't hurt you every now and then. Just go up there at McDonald's on Sunday afternoon, hold a sign for Brother Greg. You ain't got to say nothing. Just hold up that sign. Do you know it takes guts just to hold up that sign? People look at you different with that sign in your hand, don't they? You can stand there in a chicken suit and they wave at you. Y'all notice that? I had a man standing here in New Georgia at the four-way stop dressed up like a Statue of Liberty. A man had that Statue of Liberty. I thought, don't you know Statue of Liberty's a girl, dude? Every car go by, he'd wave, advertising something, tax, getting your taxes done. Every car would go by, he'd just wave, wave, and everybody'd wave back at the Statue of Liberty.
Amen.
Would you stand up there with that sign that says you must be born again?
Yeah. Amen.
You get some looks, brother. Amen. I'll tell you one thing, if this town don't know nothing, it knows Happy Valley Love Center.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We litter the streets every year with gospel literature and gospel tracts during that parade. They know we love, they know we care. If they don't know nothing, they know we care enough. They think we're a bunch of nuts.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's right. We screwed on the right bolt. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. Go to Hebrews chapter number 9. I'll give you this and we'll go to the house. Hebrews chapter number 9. Let me tell you something else he's expecting. And I'm afraid many of us ain't doing it. He requires us to look for him. He requires us to be looking for him. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Wow. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him? He requires us. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. He requires us to be looking for him. He requires us to follow him. He requires us to be faithful. Listen, he requires us to separate ourselves from some things. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Now, a lot of people confuse that with thinking they're better than everybody else. No, we're not. Amen. They're just supposed to be some changes when we get saved. Amen. God, see, that doesn't sound like all that much, does it?
Nope.
Follow him. Be faithful. Love sinners. And look for him. I can do that.
Amen.
It doesn't take a Harvard education. Follow him. Be faithful. Love sinners. Look for him.
Amen.
I can do that.
Amen.
I can do that. I was able to do all those things before he ever called me to preach. Before he ever allowed me to pastor his church. I was able to do every one of those things. I still wearing overalls to church. I'd come in on Wednesday night in my old dirty work clothes. But I could do all those things. I could follow him. I could be faithful. I could love sinners. And I can look for him. Let's stand at our feet tonight. Just a simple little thought tonight. What does God expect out of us?
Amen.
It ain't as bad as you think. I'm glad he didn't expect me to give $1 million. He never asked me to do something I couldn't do.
Amen.
Amen. Well, our prayer sheets are down here. I want you to come pick you one up. Just got a text. I'll never bring my phone in, but I did not have my church keys tonight. But got a text from Stephanie Dunlop and Dustin. And his wife are expecting a little girl. Did you see that? It's going to be a little girl, so keep them in your prayer. Sister Heather Simpson, Brother Chris Simpson's wife, gave birth, was it yesterday? Just yesterday to two little girls, twins, Katie and Clara. Katie and Clara, cute as they can be. And I just looked at that picture and thought, thank God they don't look like their granddaddy. Amen? Anyway, so... Sister Bonnie did real good. Brother Charles and I went down for her surgery, and she should be home now. It is cancer. They just don't know what kind. And she'll go and see her oncologist after they get the report back from the biopsy, and they'll determine what kind of cancer it is and how to treat it and where to go from there. So please just remember her when you pray, okay? Brother Shane Reese. Yeah, they didn't find nothing. They didn't find nothing, Brother Shane. I told him, I said, it's a wonder they even found a heart, amen? There's no blockages. No, they didn't have to do anything. So Brother Shane's okay. I appreciate your prayers there, all right? Well, let's pile up in this altar. Pray till you're done.